This is Black Helicopter Radio. My name is Ed Walker. Today is the fourth day of November 2010. Just to clear up any confusion, I originally tried to schedule Chris White to do a live interview, but the Blog Talk channel, we've been having actually a number of issues with it lately. So I honestly, I don't know if I really, if I made a mistake or if there's just some glitch in the system, but it was scheduled, it was meant to be scheduled at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is the normal time that you all know, and that's the time I always do it, Tuesday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, but it scheduled it for the 5th at 1 a.m., so just completely off time. So instead of, either canceling it or trying to, I did try to fix it, didn't work. I just decided just to go ahead and do a pre-record, which is fine. And I do apologize for the people that wanted to call in. I know I had a number of you tell me that you did specifically want to ask Chris White questions, so I apologize about that. Chris said in the future, though, hopefully we'll be able to get a live show down so you guys can do that. But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's what it is. Blog Talk Radio, it's, you know, it's not perfect, but it does the job of getting, you know, the message out there. So anyways, let me just go into the show then. So Chris, how have you been doing? The last interview we did was received really well, and I still get people talking about that, so that's why I wanted to have you back on.
Yeah, it was really fun, and the questions really kept that rolling. So it was just, I got a lot of really good responses from that. People were emailing me for a while about that, so it was really cool. I had a lot of good responses. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and then I've been my show has been covering some of the issues that we talked about back then. I've been going into Theosophy a lot, actually. I wanted to get your take on some of these UFO religions. I've been doing shows on those, and they're very, very similar to Theosophy. And, there's a bunch of them, but, you know, talking about these old UFO religions, and they basically are Theosophy, but instead of the Ascended Masters being, you know, these higher evolved spiritual beings, they just kind of switch around and make them extraterrestrials. But have you looked into those groups at all, the UFO religions?
Like the Raelians and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of the nuts and bolts about them, but I certainly know the basic stuff. They certainly pick and choose from the same pool of stuff that everybody is kind of drawing from. You know, somebody might take a little bit of Zachariah Sitchin here mixed in with a little bit of, you know, this over here. And it's just everyone does a little something different, but it's basically the same thing. And, you know, all of it's really the same thing, whether they're using aliens or ascended masters. It basically comes down to this. An evolution is coming. We can be like them if we are able to go through the evolution. And so I know that it's pretty simplistic, but ultimately that's what it all comes down to: evolve or die. The 2012 stuff, everything is about that.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the fundamental beliefs of the Illuminati is that man, through the use of intellect, can become like God. But yeah, I did, they all, it's amazing actually how similar their beliefs are compared to like the Theosophical Society. And then specifically I called out this group called Ashtar Command, which believes, Ashtar is the name of this extraterrestrial being who was claimed to be channeled by UFO contactee George Van Tassel. So it's interesting though because, I mean, okay, so you look at the Theosophical Society and they claim to be channeling Ascended Masters. And then it kind of shifted, though. You know, these UFO cults kind of started around the Cold War, that era. So it's almost like they just have the same message, same idea, but instead of Ascended Masters, it just kind of changed with the times. And you know, instead of that, it goes into extraterrestrials because that's more, you know, within the nuclear age and stuff. That's what they thought, maybe that would be a better way to spread the message. So,
right. You know, it's funny about that because it's very correct what you're saying that. When there is channeling going on, and it doesn't really matter if it's I've been doing a lot of research on David Icke, and he did a lot of channeling in his early days, but he described channeling as a few different ways. He would get it direct sometimes, which was hearing voices in his head, whether it was through automatic writing, which a lot of early Theosophy did, but they also got it direct or through a lot of other different ways, whatever way it comes. And you can find all kinds of different places that don't claim to be a part of Theosophy or whatever, but they all tend to have the same basic message. And it's really fascinating. I think I did this in part of the research that I was doing. It was just starting reading channeled material from all over the place. I found a list of people that were, you know, hugely famous that claimed that their writings were channeled, and the consistency, regardless of what the being was telling the individual, that was clearly dependent upon the individual's paradigm. Like if the person grew up in a certain situation, that that they were channeling, you know, a relative or, you know, whatever. And maybe it was Egyptian god in the case of, like, you know, certain people, or as you're saying, Pleiadians or aliens from different planets. A lot of the early stuff about the Enlightenment and all this stuff came from Pleiadians, and then there was another group. Anyway, it's all over the board, but the message is consistent. And I think that that's really where the focus of the New World Order research has to go, if we're honest with ourselves, because they say, like, here, let me give you a quote here from these beings that are talking about the New World Order. They say, in a preparatory period for the New World Order, this is the entity talking, there will be a steady and regulated disarmament. It will not be optional. No nation will be permitted to produce and organize any equipment for destructive purposes or to infringe the security of any other nation. Another quote is, the New World Order must meet the immediate need and not be an attempt to satisfy some distant idealistic vision. The New World Order must be appropriate to a world which has passed through a destructive crisis and to a humanity which is badly shattered by the experience. The New World Order must lay the foundation for a future world order which will be possible only after a time of recovery, of reconstruction and rebuilding. But they don't go into it here, but this New World Order is what these beings are very, very focused on. But yet somehow we've got it into our heads that if we really look behind the curtain of a lot of these people that we are following in the truth movement, their beliefs and their teachings are even by their own admission from these same beings that have obviously an agenda to set up the New World Order. So we're like sheep to a slaughter, most of us here, and we've failed to recognize the nature and the actual agenda of the New World Order, which is a spiritual agenda, apparently. Even by the out of their own mouth, it's a spiritual agenda that these beings are desiring the world order. They're playing the people that just to get them to spread the message. And here we're thinking, you know, it's about smaller things. And so because of that, our defenses are down when we are trying to who we're saying is right and who we're saying is wrong, because we're not seeing the nature of the agenda. I didn't explain that quite well, but I think it's close to your point there.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, some of those quotes are taken from Externalization of the Hierarchy by Alice Bailey.
And they were, yeah.
Okay, and then the term New World Order, I mean, that's kind of what I try to, when I really want to simplify it to people, the point I'm making is, you know, a lot of these researchers that you talk about and expose and they're associated with, you know, the anti-New World Order movement, but they're taking, you know, spiritual beliefs from people that wanted to set up a New World Order. So it's really not too complex or too hard, you know, and it's not that we're trying to cause infighting. It's just stating the obvious. When you start, you know, how could you say, you know, you're against the New World Order Illuminati, but then be really into the ideas of Alice Bailey, who said she wanted a New World Order. And then as far as the term New World Order goes, and then associating it with those UFO religions, there's this book titled New World Order Prophecies from Space, channeled by the Ashtar Command, which came out right around this time of the George Bush speech, actually. But that's funny just how the New World Order, they use that term, and then Ashtar Command is just so similar to the Theosophical Society. So, I mean, that really is the term that they use. So that is a powerful term, New World Order.
Definitely. Just one more thing on that. They do it for different people groups, like the seed groups were intended to do. Like you might have this Ashtar Command people. You know, they're only are able to get to a certain amount of people. There's only a certain type of people whose paradigm will shape that. But that same thing, which is that there's an evolution coming. You can be like us, you know, in various different ways. They could be sort of ambiguous about how that happens or why it's supposed to happen. But that primary message is taught to them. And then you have on the other end people that are getting deceived about, let's say, 2012. It's a totally different paradigm. They're believing totally different things. They have no concept of aliens or anything in there necessarily, but they are believing the same thing, that there's an evolution coming very soon, and that, you know, we're going to have this opportunity to become like, you know, something different, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you've got, of course, the more overt people that are saying that, like David Icke, who, I mean, he says this enlightenment's coming, and that basically at the end of every single one of his books, recent books anyway, he says that this thing is going to happen, and it's going to enlighten the world. Certain people are, and namely the Christians, are not going to be able to evolve, and so they're going to be our enemies when this thing happens. But, you know, if everybody thinks positively, you know, they're going to be all right, and they're going to evolve. And so what I'm saying is that the evolution concept is so – it permeates everything, and it's not so much that one group is worse than the other or bigger than the other. I think theosophy gets singled out a lot because it did such a thorough job. The channelings of Blavatsky and Alice Bailey were such complete works describing the agenda. That's why it ended up being kind of the base level of the new age, because there was so much information to draw from. So different areas of the new age took certain pieces of Blavatsky, like the Kundalini thing. That's a good example. You know, we it's kind of just a part of our, you know, culture now, but of course it was Blavatsky that brought that in there. Some people just took the Kundalini thing and ran with it, and it's, there's just so much for them to draw off of. So it's not so much that they're the big bad thing. I'm quite certain that if you went to the Theosophical Society, you know, the people behind that really, you know, they're not the New World Order. The New World Order was the whoever wrote that stuff that Alice Bailey wrote down. And, you know, this is the thing it's easy to understand. Alice Bailey, and people like Annie Besant, they were so prideful. And if they had wrote it, they would clearly say they did. But these are people who are so adamant that they didn't write what they were writing. They said, this isn't mine. It's not, you know, I don't put my name on that, essentially. Well, they did put their name on it. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. The fact that they say that it's being channeled by these ascended masters or... And then, yeah, I mean, the fact, obviously, why wouldn't they take credit for it? And, yeah, the writings, and that's a good point how you're saying, you know, it's not, like, necessarily trying to single out the Theosophical Society, because, like you mentioned, it's just, I mean, yeah, this ideology is in so many different, you know, mystery schools or occult organizations or religions throughout time, through different parts of the world. But the thing with the Theosophical Society is it's so... I mean, you read Externalization of the Hierarchy, and that's just one document that it just completely changed my view on everything. I mean, that book absolutely, it was literally, when I was reading it, it sent shivers down my spine, because it was almost like reading a blueprint of how to set up the New World Order. And it's still just, when I first opened it up, and then I actually went straight to this section where it actually said New World Order, and you know, and they're actually using the term that we all know so well, and then also how you connected that type of ideology, but then that type of ideology is also permeating the people who claim to be fighting the New World Order, and it all fits into place so well. But as far as this overall kind of ideology, William Cooper in his Mystery Babylon series, he talks about how it's just all these different groups, but they all have the same. You know, they basically say the same thing, more or less, these Masonic ideas. The Ashtar Command and then the UFO religions is another side of it. But I think basically they're just, ripping off the whole idea of the Theosophical Society, but then they just do it to make it more trendy with aliens and stuff. But as far as David Icke, so you said in his early writings, I wasn't aware he, I know you don't want to give away too much because you're doing this, unleashing this big thing with a, exposing David Icke, but he was in, I had no idea he was into channeling. That's very
nice. Oh yeah, man. We got a book here. See if I can quote you something from it here. It's pretty intense. Let's see what he says here. Although there was a large amount of new and detailed information in this book, the basic found, what is he? Let's see here. What does he say? Since the publication of The Truth Vibrations, I have learned so much more. I have communicated almost daily with Rakorsky. Now, Rakorsky is a being that Alice Bailey came into our vernacular through Alice Bailey. I mean, he's communicating with Alice Bailey's Ascended Master every day here. The one I have communicated with almost daily is Rakorsky, the one known as the Lord of All Civilization, who is directly responsible for the changes the Earth will undergo. I also communicate often with the one we know as Jesus, the Spirit of the Earth, and many others. He says, communicating with such beings on other levels of creation is the most natural thing in the world. So, yeah, he definitely was into channeling. But his what's coming out now is the connection to theosophy, how, you know, he has this out sort of thing that he does where, like, he looks back at this and he doesn't really talk about this anymore. He might even say, you know, this was a time where my head was going crazy and, you know, he just had his, well, Kundalini experience, which is exactly what the, you know, Luciferic initiation, all this stuff. So he says, you know, his mind had just been blown. He's crazy at this point. He doesn't really say that, but everything that he believes is the same. I have, you know, he still believes, in a very recent thing, he's talking about how this change, and if you've listened to a lot of this stuff, you've heard him say this kind of stuff. This change is actually going to be caused by the sun. He says the sun is going to put forth energies that are actually going to do the work of changing us. Now, he doesn't go into details anymore about that, what he means by that, but what he's talking about is the solar logos. Now, the solar logos is important to know because that's Lucifer, and he believes that the Earth is a spirit in the same way that the sun is a spirit. It's a god. And I'll just read you something from here at Conspiracy Archive, who had done a really great thing on this. I was just doing I'd seen he had started talking about solar logos and stuff like that, and I knew it was connected, but here's what it says. In part one of well, he's talking about the Lucius Trust logo, and it too features a stream of blue light, the New Age symbol invented by Foster Bailey. It has a plethora of symbolic imagery. The symbol, according to Lucius Trust, is a set of limitless field of blue, which signifies a spear. Let's see. What was I going to quote on this? The initiation, human and solar, Bailey mentions the five-pointed stars, the final two initiations. It depends on him, merges in him. Let's see. I'm sorry, I can't find the quote I'm looking for here. But anyway, that's not where it ends. He talks about these. I mean, everything about it. Here's a chapter called "Living in the Light," where he talks about her. Every concept that he says in here, it's the most theosophical book you've ever read, and every tenet of theosophy is believed here, which he now believes still, but he just doesn't talk about it anymore. But the problem is like. The only conclusion that you can come to here is that the beings that he's talking to were lying to him because, well, first of all, a lot of these predictions didn't come true. But anyway, there's so much to say with this. My mind is just about to explode with David Icke information here. But the bottom line is this. That guy is here's a really I know I'm going all over the place with this, but this is really fascinating. So he actually says here he's talking every day with Rakorsky. Now, Rakorsky is somebody that Alice Bailey goes into great detail describing this ascended master, and it's the exact same terminology. There's absolutely no doubt in the world that he's talking about Alice Bailey's ascended master, Rakorsky. But the issue is, all of a sudden, nowadays, he starts to talk bad about the Theosophical Society and say, you know, it's a setup, and he's quoting a guy named Brian Desborough. David Icke took everything, all his conspiracy stuff from a guy named Brian Desborough. It's kind of a mix between Brian Desborough and Bill Cooper in The Biggest Secret. It's not his original conspiracy stuff. And I mean, it is word for word. He like took everything from Desborough and just sort of, and you can actually go down, I mean, the book's dedicated to him. He's not necessarily stealing it or whatever. But here's the thing. Brian Desborough has this big thing against the Theosophical Society and says it's obviously trying to trick the New Age into accepting a new world order, and that these ascended masters were created by I think he says the Tavistock Institute, and you know, these names were just code names for people at the Tavistock, and all this view that Brian Desborough has. Which Brian Desborough has a bunch of crazy views, including the whole reptilians thing, and they chased the Aryans from Mars to the moon. All that stuff is Brian Desborough. Every bit of it. In fact, Brian Desborough introduced Arizona Wilder to David Icke, and Brian Desborough's early writings clearly show he knows way too much about mind control And it's clear that something happened with Arizona's testimony, because when she actually says, "I was made to learn," and as she says, the reptilians came from Mars and they were chased the Aryans to the moon, and that's her whole story of what the reptilians are. She clearly got it from Brian Desborough. It's a mess. That whole thing is a total mess. But nevertheless, what's weird about it is Ike never seems to realize, as he took on this new belief, and he says this in new presentations about how I believe the New Age is, you know, doesn't have it all right, and he badmouths the Ascended Masters. He like puts a little thing of the Ascended Masters on the screen and talks bad about it, and he's basically just saying Brian Desborough stuff that he got from The Big Secret. But the issue is, he doesn't seem to have made the connection that everything that he believes comes from them. I mean, his whole everything, he's badmouthing the Ascended Masters, but I mean, these first two books detail his worldview, which is, by the way, the craziest thing in the world. I mean, if you read these books are about like how the world came into being and what the world's all about, this is crazy stuff. This book here called Love Changes Everything. But nevertheless, he clearly still believes this stuff. So it's weird. It's just weird. He's an interesting character. I'll leave it there because I'm just rambling. I got so much to say about it.
No, I can tell. It is interesting. And as far as Chris, like if people, you know, automatically when people hear, if you're being critical of someone, they think, you know, oh, you're just trying to bash them. And I want to just say up front, the first big conspiracy book I ever got was David Icke. David Icke played a huge part in me getting involved in all this. That was back in, I think, 2002, around there, I got Children of the Matrix. And I mean, but when you really are genuinely seeking truth, and you're not just seeking information that reaffirms things you already believe, I mean, you know, sometimes people that you used to look up to and their ideas, sometimes you know, evidence comes out that people aren't always what they seem, and that's just something I've kind of learned to deal with. You know, always expect the unexpected, and then, I mean, when I first started out, I mean, it's just amazing how much, you know, people can change. I started out as basically an agnostic. I held some of these kind of more, you know, quote, new age ideas. But then things just, you know, they'll come to you. It's just amazing. Like, I did not, the things I believe now kind of came to me through, you know, things with other people's research, like Chris White. And, you know, the documentary Aquarius Age of Evil. And then also just reading the documents of, like, the Theosophical Society. So my point is, I mean, if you really want truth, you can't just, you know, say, well, I'm not going to believe what he says about David Icke because I like David Icke. I mean, I think Chris White does a good job of presenting evidence of, you know, of why he's criticizing the ideas of these people. And I've never heard you stoop to real low personal attacks. You know, I know you don't hear you say, oh, he's just loony. You know, you don't do the shallow saying, oh, David Icke is just crazy because he talks about reptilians. But no, you do a good job of backing up, you know, their ideas more so than the person themselves, which I think is key if you want, you know, to, you know, just be held to a higher standard and not just get into you know, mudslinging, basically.
Right. That's important to realize. As far as I know, sometimes we'll get that, you know, that there's an infighting thing going on. We need to be, we need to be worried about the overall thing that's going on and all this stuff. And I would say that if I'm right, then we're all chasing the wrong thing. If I'm right, then the real New World Order is winning and we are losing. If I'm right, then we are all getting sucked into it and we don't really understand what they are wanting to do with getting everybody to believe that an evolution is coming. We haven't pieced that together. We've never even considered that what that agenda could look like or why would they be pushing it. So I'm trying to use everybody's, you know, this, it's a vehicle in which to get to people to hopefully wake them up. I suppose that's what it is. But another thing about it is that, you know, you say that, and I too first got into the conspiracy stuff through David Icke. That's where, I mean, if it wasn't for David Icke, there's a whole bunch of conspiracies that I wouldn't have known about, you know, learned about all the stuff there, aspartame, fluoride, you name it. He taught it to me in The Biggest Secret. And, but the issue is that it's kind of like if somebody gives you some truth, here's a good example. The Jehovah's Witnesses, great example. Jehovah's Witnesses will like tell you stuff like, hey, Easter is a pagan holiday. And you're like, oh, no, it's not. Easter couldn't be a pagan holiday. And then they prove it to you. And you're like, wow, man, Easter's really a pagan holiday. That's crazy. That makes sense. It's Ishtar, and, you know, you got the fertility ritual, and you got the bunny rabbits and the eggs. It all makes sense. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it is. So we've got all the truth. Come over here and join us. And they just used it as bait. It's like the oldest psychological trick in the world. And if we think that our enemy is not that, at least that smart, to use some sort of bait. I mean, there's not a cult in the world that doesn't have some truth. I mean, nobody would join a cult that doesn't have any truth. So, you know, it's just basic psychology that we need to be especially defended against that stuff, which is, you know, the more unique the truth is, and that's why the conspiracy thing is so dangerous, because it's so unique and important what you find out when you find out that the world is not true. And actually, I got a really great video quote of David Icke talking about this same principle, which is interesting because obviously he's utilizing it. But it is sort of a shattered paradigm thing that they have to rebuild, because when you have your world, you know, shaken like that, you have to rebuild it. And the problem is that we're vulnerable and during that rebuilding process, and our enemy is really aware of that.
Wow, that's a great point. Yeah, that's actually, and saying that, how it shakes your worldview, that's exactly how it was for me when I, quote, woke up. And, I mean, yeah, it's because it basically makes you feel like everything you're taught, you know, was a lie, which is not, you know, which is fairly true. I mean, sure, like you said, there are some truths in, you know, in the mainstream establishment, but I mean, for the most part, I mean, a lot of what we learn is a lie. So then if they can do that, I mean, you know, this does seem like, you know, like a form of mind control in itself, you know, tear you down and then bring you back up into, you know, their philosophy. So if there really is an Illuminati that's working towards very nefarious ends, why wouldn't they have, you know, people, you know, just totally tear down your, you know, your establishment worldview and then bring it back up and to be in line with what they want, you know, the externalization
exactly.
Of the
higher. Exactly. That's what brainwashing is. I mean, that's where the term came from. It was the idea of clearing out a brain so that it could be reprogrammed. And we are in such danger if we think that conspiracy knowledge is the proof that somebody's okay. And we also have to be understanding of even they might even have the best possible conspiracy knowledge to make sure they have the best possible audience. And who would have more knowledge of the conspiracy stuff than the entities driving it in the first place? Why? I mean, if you look at Brian Desbro, the people, you know, where he gets his conspiracy knowledge, I mean, that guy says right out the bat he's getting all his information from spiritual entities that he talks with every day. Or go, you know, even further. And on down the line, I mean, as I said, Jordan Maxwell Jordan Maxwell and all these guys, they claim, you know, Maxwell claims Pleiadians, you know, are the ones guiding him and speaking through him. So it's the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, that's a good point that if you do have all this conspiracy knowledge, it would make sense to be getting it from the conspirators. But, I mean, so as far as these people, though, I mean, actually pushing this conspiracy, the Theosophical Society and the real New World Order that they talk about, I mean, do you think in your – I mean, I don't know if you have a real direct answer for this or if you know, but in your gut, do you think they are actual agents? They're deceived? You know, like they don't – you kind of hit on this a little in the Age of Aquarius, but I mean, now that you've, you know, it's been some time since that came out, and now with exposing Ike, do you think this is all part of a grander conspiracy, or do you think they really think that what the, you know, this coming new Age of Aquarius is, do you think they really think it is a good thing and they really are doing it just for the betterment of humanity, and they're just deceived, though?
I think the majority of these guys are deceived, and I think that if you were having supernatural experiences like the ones that they're having, and that are playing on their pride. Keep in mind, the first supernatural experience Ike, for example, ever had, told him that he was going to save the world, that he was like the one chosen to heal the world and communicate the message is going to save the world or whatever. You know, he was given this incredibly thing, very seductive thing. And granted, it was incredibly supernatural, all the stuff that he's describing. You would of course believe that. Who wouldn't believe that? here you are getting communicated with these beings that are, you know, telling you this information. I mean, you can tell his shockedness of that when he writes about, you know, how his, you know, the pen would write, and it couldn't be him because he'd never heard about any of these things before. You know, it's easy to get deceived when it's a prideful thing. Jordan Maxwell, another case in point. They told him that he was like this emissary from them to like save the world here. And of course he's having all the supernatural things. We are so easily deceived if we have pride. Humility is a defense against deception in a lot of ways, but but there are people out there, don't get me wrong, that are agents, if you will. Satanism in a real deal, like the Illuminati underground Satanism stuff exists, and those people are out there. But even in that level, a majority of those people are controlled via multiple personality disorder, this kind of plausible deniability kind of thing, different alters and whatnot. So they're being used just as much as anybody. The main thing here is that everybody we need to have compassion on, because even if there was an agent out there, like I think some people are, I only can think of one that comes to mind, but it's Alan Watt. But I think that even if there are those type of people that absolutely know what they're doing, then they still deserve our compassion, because ultimately somewhere down the line they're deceived.
Yeah, and one point, I know I keep going back to the documentary you're in, Age of Aquarius, but there's just a lot of things in that really kind of changed my my paradigm. One thing I don't think can be ignored, it's a pretty strong point that's made, is when you look at a lot of the people in the conspiracy movement that seem to move along unhindered and don't get attacked by the establishment New World Order at all, or a lot of the people who push... Yeah, no, there's a few exceptions, of course, but I mean, like, the people you're talking about now, like Tazarin and David Icke and Maxwell, they push, you know, the kind of the mystery school ideology. But then, you know, you look at people like Bill Cooper, Fritz Springmeier, who was recently released out of prison, by the way, and then Fritz Springmeier, you know, and then John Todd, and then a lot of these other people that, you know, they were, you know, silenced in very, very suspicious ways. I mean, Bill Cooper obviously was killed, and I mean, there's no doubt in my mind he was just straight up assassinated. But then the other people too were silenced by, you know, very sketchy, you know, thrown
right
into prison. And
well, I think that's a good point, but I think we should be careful how far we take it, because that I think was time centric, and there was a time before 9/11 primarily that this stuff was dangerous to come out, and it wasn't time to come out. But I think that there's been a thing recently that all conspiracy stuff ultimately is good for that side at this point, because they need to wake right now. It's a mad dash to wake the entire world up to this concept that they can be evolved. It doesn't matter how they get to them. If they get to them through aliens or 2012 or you know, just rampant new age stuff or whatever, it's going out there. Conspiracy stuff is the fastest vehicle for indoctrinating people into the New World Order mindset. So everything is fair game at this point. To me, the only thing that really still is people get killed for and whatever is those people that really talk about the underground satanic stuff.
Yep.
Those people, that stuff is never been allowed. When you start talking about the satanic rituals, and if you had there's so very little evidence out there about that stuff. When somebody comes on the news and talks about occult crime and stuff, you know, you could go to any police precinct and they would know all about satanic crime, but they never talk about it. And there is that stuff going on massive levels, but we have no clue about that. That is silenced all the time. So conspiracy stuff at this point, fair game, whether it's true or not. There may come a time in the future when that is, I think, going to be capped when they crack down on the internet and start cracking down a little bit more when they have more power. But right now it's a very beneficial thing, as far as I can tell. From what I see happening is some, you know, 80-90% of the people that are quote woken up end up with the exact same mindset that they were desired to get in the first place.
Yeah, and isn't the term being awake or awoken kind of, that term, I mean, just in itself kind of creeps me out lately. It kind of sounds like being illumined, you know, being You ever notice that?
Yeah. Enlightened for sure. I mean, it's definitely a part of it for sure. And again, of course, as we know, it's healthy in a lot of ways to be awakened to that stuff. You can save your life by not doing a lot of the poisonous stuff and not going. And there's lots of stuff that's out there that we absolutely had to always know. But the very same individuals that have kept the secrets had the power over the releasing of the secrets. It works this way real quickly, like in psychology of, I would look at it like satanic psychology. If Satan was the guy who caused the person to do the thing, to kill himself or something like that, he was totally behind that, okay? You know, he had demons, you know, screaming in the dude's ear, you know, or whatever it might have been. And then the dude kills himself. And then he keeps pointing back at that to the rest of the family and, you know, and using that, saying, hey, look, I can't believe they did that. That was your fault. Oh, my gosh. You know, he utilizes that which he did in order to just make the best of every situation. So it's kind of a lot like that. Of course, all this stuff, he was behind all of it being hidden in the first place, but he's also now using it for his advantage.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very interesting. And then one thing I just got to bring up before I forget. I mean, it's all on topic with about, you know, the coming, you know, reigning in the New World Order. And you talk a lot about, when I was listening to the past interview we did today before we started, just to kind of get a refresher of where we left off. And one thing you brought up in that interview, which is kind of interesting because the timing, right, it was right before a lot of this new UFO information came out. Some of this stuff that was absolutely crazy. I'm sure you've probably heard of a lot of it. You said, in your personal belief, you think one way that they would bring about the New World Order, because you were saying how it'd have to be something completely huge, completely just shake the whole world. Like, I mean, something 9/11 times, you know, a million or what, you know. And you said one way you could see them doing it is through, you know, either it's some sort of contact with extraterrestrials, because from there they could say, look, we created you, that, you know, there is no God. You know, extraterrestrials come, help us reign in this new universal brotherhood. And then after that show, though, then all this stuff came out about the UN appointing someone to meet with extraterrestrials. Then we had Stan Fullen say the date. He's claiming to be talking with the Transcenders, he calls them. He said the date, October 13th, there would be a major UFO displays over major cities. And then that turned out to be pretty accurate. I mean, New York had some. And then they also claim to have found that planet that could possibly have life, the Goldilocks planet. And then all this stuff just came out right after that show. And it's just, I mean, do you still hold that? I mean, yeah, I know you don't have a crystal ball, so you have no idea how they'll do it. But do you still hold that's a very strong possibility?
I am more convinced of it every day. I mean, everything that I see points to that's the mechanism that they're going to use to get Farmer John to think that he is deserving a spiritual enlightenment, that it's right around the corner if they can get rid of those that are holding them back. Everything that the channeling and everything has been trying to get people to believe is not possible to get John and Jane Sixpack to believe, because they're not going to find out about the New World Order, or excuse me, the new age. They're not going to be trying to get their Kundalini experience on, you know, they don't care. But if you can do that, then you can validate this idea that, hey, we can be like them. We can. We're about it. Egg this on, that we can be evolved. There's an evolution yet for us, and we can be like them. And of course, there's all kinds of dogma and stuff that goes with it. And I think the New World Order and the peace that will seem to come after that can, and everything that comes with it, the abandonment of the idea of God and the acceptance of the idea of the new evolution, the national sovereignty issues just totally going away, everybody joining hands, kumbaya, we're all a part of this. And I look at Matthew 24, and I can't, the more I'm doing a verse-by-verse study in that, and the more I look at that passage, I see that there has to be something major change to turn us into that world where – you know, the corresponding passages like in Luke 21 say, you know, parents are going to, you know, fathers are going to give their sons up to be killed, and brothers are going to turn in their brothers, and This is they're going to do like 1984, like the book 1984, when the kids were turning in their parents, because not because they were scared, but because they believed the new system. They believed that there was an opportunity to sort of to you know they're true believers in the system. I know there's a lot to explain there, and I didn't do quite a good job, but it's basically yes, absolutely. I think that the UFO thing and all these things that you mentioned, all they really are is the power of the media, which again is a pointing a finger back to an agenda, because all of those things are that you mentioned could not have happened without hype being created, and they've been doing this for a long time.
Yep.
With a story can become a story, like the UN alien thing. That wasn't even a real thing. I mean, she wasn't. That's what she was doing. She was talking about near Earth objects and you know meteorites and stuff like that. She had you know she totally denied anything like that. But that story circled the world and carried with it a sub story about. You know, we're starting to think about aliens and everything else like this. This guy that says, aliens or whatever, big date or whatever, it circles the globe in no time. Nothing circles the globe faster than a prediction with a date on it, i.e. 2012. If you want to get something in the mind of the world, put a date on something, and you know, of course, there's multiple different ways they could do that. In my view of what they are. Can be manipulated just as quick as anything, but it's just the media. You see it all the time with movies. Every movie for the last 7 years has been something to do with aliens built the pyramids. They're coming back. They're going to destroy us. No, they're our friends. But it's just aliens, aliens, aliens. There is something going on in terms of a propaganda campaign that seems to have permeated all levels. You could say no, it's just because that's what we like. Maybe that's what's hot and people are buying it. Maybe so, but you can look back at like Nelson Rockefeller funding War of the Worlds with Orson Welles, and Nelson Rockefeller having this thing to do about disclosure, you know, that's now going on. The disclosure thing is just a joke, you know, that's getting this into people's minds. The government knows about it. They just won't tell us, you know, the oldest trick in the book, you know, pick up the toy that the kids not playing with, and they all of a sudden want to play with it, you know. So it's just a big propaganda thing, and that to me is the biggest evidence that that's what we're supposed to believe.
I'm glad you brought up the thing with the UN alien thing being withdrawn. Yeah, it wasn't really true, but I did read that. But the funny thing is, okay, this just proves how they're trying to hype the whole alien thing just in a major way, because I remember, yeah, the UN alien thing was all huge headlines. You could see it everywhere. But when I saw that thing of them retracting and saying that she's you know not really an alien ambassador, but when I saw that, it was this tiny little sub headline, you know. And then actually, right. Also with that Goldilocks planet, they actually ended up saying kind of retracting that to a point.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Saying like, well, we don't really know. But it's like whenever there's something that can show you know aliens, and then like you said, yeah, people would say it's for ratings, but I don't know. I think it really is a kind of. Beyond that, and then
they do. I mean, you could see this all the time too with Mars. Frank, a guy used to do a show with Frank and Chris show. We used to joke about this because over the years, we would time it about like once a month, maybe it was probably once every 2 or 3 months, really. But it was like clockwork that they would put out these stories about Mars that would circle the entire globe, and they would say life on Mars found, or water found on Mars that. Supports life, or some grand headline that's like, oh my gosh, and everybody's starting talking about, you know, Mars. Okay, can you believe the Mars thing? And then you read the article, and it's all like that life could possibly be there if, you know, all these if things. And that it's basically non-story with a super fantastic headline, and that would happen just consistently, and by big news agencies that were obviously getting picked up all across the world. And it sure seems like somebody would have read the story and be like, this doesn't have anything to do with that or whatever.
Yeah, it's but I heard there's a statistic though that the majority of people don't even really read the article; they just look at the headlines. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, they just see honey, it looks like they found aliens on Mars. They don't really read the article.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, the whole thing with the UFOs, I did a number of shows on that. I mean, yeah, that theory. Seems to be making more sense. The Raelians, Raelism, however you say it, that UFO religion believes that the story in the Bible is just actually a story describing the Elohim, where aliens, it's just describing genetic engineering. And when they say God, they're really referring to aliens. That's what they say.
Yeah, they're taking, I mean, they've got a not even really that modified version of Zachariah Sitchin. It's so disprovable, but so few people, check it out. SitchinisWrong.com is a great website, but Dr. Michael Heiser, it's the kind of deception that there's only one option. Zachariah Sitchin knew that he was deceiving people. If you study that website, there's not another conclusion to it. There's only one conclusion. Zachariah Sitchin knew he was deceiving people. And the reason no other Sumerian scholar comes up with the exact same conclusion, because surely they would. I mean, why wouldn't somebody else come up? I mean, surely there's people that can interpret those writings better than Zachariah Sitchin that don't have paradigms at risk or anything like that. The reason nobody else comes up with them is because you have to lie in order to come up with them. And I think Sitchin is Wrong demonstrates that perfectly.
Sitchin is Wrong, yeah. I've heard of people, to be honest, I never really even got into Sitchin that much, but no, I mean, if he's one of those guys that says we were seeded by aliens, I mean, yeah, I've heard
yeah,
that.
He is the guy, and in fact, it was his book in the 70s that started everything, The 12th Planet, and that whole Elohim thing and all that stuff it's a joke. Elohim, most people still use this today. It just drives me nuts. Like, they'll say, you know, Elohim is plural, and that means that, you know, it's gods and everything, but Elohim is plural, and it's also singular. It totally depends on the context. A good example is like the word sheep. If I said, it could mean one sheep or two sheep, depending on the context. If I said the sheep are in the pen, the word are shows you that the word sheep is plural. But if I said the sheep is in the pen, you would know that the sheep that I was talking about is singular. And so it's just like a really simple grammatical thing that it's like Jordan Maxwell does ancient history. Well, he does that too, but you know, it's really a simple thing. It's a little more complicated than that. I don't want to make it seem like it's that simple, but SitchinIsWrong.com really goes into that in great detail.
And one point you made, I posted a video when I announced I was going to be interviewing you, as this video, I believe it's called just My Rant to the Truth Movement. You talk about how people, this is kind of a creepy point, but I mean, I think it has a lot of validity to it. It's how people that are now in the, you know, quote, truth movement could, you know, potentially, when the time comes, if there's this huge cataclysm, could find themselves embracing the actual solution, you know, that the New World Order, when they claim to be against this from the start. Yeah, I mean, it's just the deception just runs so deep. And when you made that point, it's just like, wow, I could totally, you know, totally see that. Do you still think that's the case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the reason we're being indoctrinated into it, is to have less resistance when the New World Order comes. The New World Order should be better defined as the New World Order. Like that quote that I read earlier when she says, or Dejwa Kuhl says, that the New World Order must meet the immediate need. The New World Order must be appropriate to a world which has passed through a destructive crisis and to a humanity which is badly shattered by the experience. The New World Order must lay the foundation for a future world order which will be possible only after a time of recovery, of reconstruction and rebuilding. So what I'm saying here is that when we are offered this utopia, it will be after a terrible time of war, I think. War planned and easily planned, I think. It will contain a lot of this stuff that the New World Order has the power to do. Things like economic crisis, famine, war, a lot of terrible things that they have the power to do. Pestilence. We're going to be in a big, big problem that they're creating. But the reason they need that chaos, and a perfect chaos, is so that when the solution comes, everything that we've been taught by the conspiracy world is going to seem like it's been destroyed. They're going to sacrifice what we think is the New World Order, and what takes over after that will look absolutely different from the New World Order. In fact, it's going to look a whole lot like it's at the end of every David Icke book. It's going to present itself like a totally different utopia. Listen to Alice Bailey describe the utopia. Listen to Ike described this utopia. But notice also, every single time they describe this utopia that comes after this thing, it's conditional. I mean, everything that Ike says is an if-then statement. Tessarian, I've got this great quote in the Michael Tessarian is Wrong video at the end of that. His if-then statements are about this when this coming thing happens, this new utopia that we're going to have. It's possible there's not going to be any wars and everything if there's going to be certain people that are not going to be ready for it. And why? Because they're hanging on to the old age. They still believe, even though everybody just got proven wrong, that God doesn't exist because, hey, the aliens showed up and everything, stopped this war or whatever. So hey, they've been proven wrong, but yet they can't handle it because their paradigms aren't, whatever. But in reality, the Christians don't buy it because the Christians were totally warned against this in the Bible. They said, hey, there's going to be somebody coming that's going to look like this Savior, and he's going to promise a whole bunch of peace. But whatever you do, don't believe him. So the Christians aren't believing him because they were warned prior to this. But everybody else is just going to think because that's what we've been told. You know the whole thing about all the Christians, this whole the age of Pisces thing. Jesus was just, he was symbolizing the age of Pisces. The reason that keeps getting drilled into our head is because they're going to say this new system is like a different thing. And we're still like part of the old age. That's what you're going to hear David Icahn say. They're not going to say it quite that much. They'll say this. They're still hanging on to the old age, and they're going to prevent this new thing. And here's the thing that's going to really make it believe us, and this is why, the anti-Christianity stuff is so important to them, because they keep telling us every day. If it's not every day, it's more than every day. It's the Christians are and the Jews and the Muslims are like the Judeo-Christian religions are the reason for the wars. The Jews are constantly fighting the Muslims, and the Christians are have to defend the Jews, and they say this is the whole problem. And so the problem is that now they have the ability, because obviously they control America, they control the Islamic nations, they control Israel. So all they have to do is create a war. It's the easiest thing in the world. They're really good at it. They've been doing it for a long time. And so that's no problem. But what they can do with the media is tell everybody, here's the deal. We have to think out of the box. We have to think a little bit more futuristic. If indeed this war gets stopped, which is order out of chaos, look at that symbol. That's what they want to do. They need the chaos to be absolutely horrible. But if they can do that, if they can stop it, they can say, look, here's your proof that the wars were all caused by this Judeo-Christian religion. We just got out of this terrible time of war, and it was all because of them. And now we're here. We've shown that what they believe, this whole Judeo-Christian thing, it's not even true. These people are causing all your problems, and what they're believing isn't even true. And the only thing, the thing about that is that the Muslims are going to be cool with that. And the reason is because 600 years after the Bible, the Quran and the Hadiths and all these things paint the Imam Mahdi and the return of Isa. They believe that two people are coming, the Imam Mahdi and the return of Isa. 600 years after the Bible, that this prophecy is made of these two people that they're waiting for. They believe the Imam Mahdi is going to reteach them a new Islam, a totally different version. And Jesus, their version of Jesus, Isa, is coming back. So the Bible, of course, predicts the Antichrist and the false prophet. A lot of people forget him. Basically, what I'm saying is that the Muslim world is going to embrace this new system and change their views because that's what they've been prepared for. So the only people really that are going to be left that are part of this thing, that the wars that were caused humanity, and we're already, there's a possibility of evolution. Hey, just look at my alienness. You can be like me someday, but there's still that people that are hanging on to the old age. And it's just going to be Christians standing there holding their Bible saying, guys, this, we were warned about this. And so the New World Order, this utopia, zeitgeist addendum, this whole thing is something that it's not going to happen like zeitgeist addendum, because zeitgeist addendum is just getting the idea in people's minds, that this is the ultimate goal of utopia. The ultimate goal of utopia absolutely has to be something that is continually dangled in front of our face, whatever version it takes, whether it's Ike's, Sarians, or zeitgeist addendums. We all have to believe that someday a utopia is possible. When it comes to the real world, they're going to have a very solid introduction to this whole new age thing. It's going to happen over a very fast period.
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad you mentioned zeitgeist, because I need to make sure in this interview we mentioned in the email I sent you, I talked about the new preview for the new zeitgeist, and it blew my mind, because knowing what I knew about, talking about the Age of Aquarius and, the New Age and just the title of it. Listen to the title of it. It's Moving Forward. I know you know that, but And then at the very end of the trailer, it says the transition begins. So what is this starting to sound like? This just totally reaffirms the teachings in theosophy and all of this stuff. That ultimately is what they're pushing. But what I don't understand with the whole zeitgeist thing, though, is why do they try to act like these atheists, but then when you look at their bibliography, they're quoting, you know, a lot of theosophists and New Agers and Freemasons and stuff. So do you think they really are atheists, or what? I mean, what do you think? What's the deal with that?
Well, I mean, everybody sort of has a difference of opinion about it. I mean, the thing about the New Age stuff is that it's kind of loosely based. The only thing that you can't do in the New Age is be a Christian, a Bible believing Christian. You can pretty much be anything else, and you can believe whatever you want to believe. And a lot of them believe a lot of different things, but they certainly believe in the supernatural. The question then becomes the source of the supernatural. And really, in my experience, and I know in the experience of a lot of other people, it's not really that well thought out. You know, they might have sort of, you know, half baked ideas about, well, you know, I kind of think it's, you know, we're all sort of here, and then, you know, we die and something happens, and I think they're still here, and, you know, ghosts I'm not sure of, and, you know, they haven't really thought it out. If they're into some sort of particular thing, or like theosophy or something like that, it's, you know, it's solid doctrine. They have to believe the ascended masters are there, and that's, you know, and all that stuff. But for the most part, most of us that, you know, we're former truth, you know, former, you know, people out there believing the new age and stuff like that, didn't really think it out that well. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Their whole bag is clearly, at the undertones of it, is it is very theistic in certain ways. If there are theosophists of a bent, that theism is basically reverse theism, in that they're very Luciferian in their belief system. Like I just mentioned, David Icke, who keeps telling us that the sun, well, he doesn't mention it anymore, but he's certainly very adamant in his old books, the sun is an entity and that it's the one that's going to do the changing. If you decode that and you understand what he's talking about in his older books, he's talking about Lucifer's going to be the one to literally enlighten us in this new and the new thing. But, you know, but of course, Icke would be the first person to say that a version of atheism, you know, it's sort of like we're all sort of God, so there is no God kind of situation.
Okay, and one criticism I want to bring up when I talk about a lot of this stuff is, what do you think, I mean, do you think in order to be, well, okay, actually this is just an issue I've had for a long time. So do you think, as far as, this is kind of going back to Christianity and the New World, in the new anti-New World Order movement and stuff, do you think you have to be, I mean, do you think you really have to be Christian to be against the Illuminati? I mean, do you think you could be another religion and still be against all this? Or?
Sure. I mean, these people are, you know, killing, raping, pillaging, destroying. I mean, who wouldn't be against that? To be against it is not hard. And I think that that's not the hard part. You know, the hard part, I think, comes when they're not going to have this gray area be around for very much longer. The stuff that they're working on is to make sure there's only black and there's only white. There's ultimatums coming. There's going to be, you're either with us or you're choosing sides.
Yeah.
And they're going to make it hard to hide. So the question really isn't if you're going to be against them. The question really is, are you going to join them? And as it currently stands, a lot of us will join them because we won't recognize that it is them.
Yeah. Yeah, you put it really well, just there. And the reason I ask that is because a lot of times when I start advocating this and saying the teachings of Jesus are basically the antithesis to the Illuminati, I mean, which is what I've been saying more and more, I get a lot of criticism. And for the most part, it's all been, you know, pretty polite debate. I've had a few attacks. But it's just when I say that, they think, like I'm saying, oh, if you're not just this, you know, someone who follows the Bible word by word, Christian, then you're evil. And that's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is when you look at the doctrine of, you know, the Theosophical Society and things like that, it really does appear. And this is what I didn't come to this research from a Christian perspective. I've been led to the point where I am now just from the evidence. And you look at, you know, talking about how we need to enter this new age and the age of Pisces, you know, Jesus is represented in the age of Pisces. So ultimately, they really think the deity of Christ is holding us back from the age of Aquarius. Is that correct?
I mean, basically, I mean, they would say it that, you know, that was just that idea basically needs to get in, that Jesus, his era is ending and a new thing is beginning. And really what that's going to take shape in is more the people that are still trying to hang on to the old system and preventing this new possible utopia that's dangling on a carrot, dangling on a string in front of everybody. And so that's going to cause the genocide that that is on the back burner of every channel message that I've ever read, is a genocide that's coming. And I think, of course, if the Bible predicts it, that's what I was just saying. I mean, I can't believe that stuff. You know, Matthew 24, when parents are going to give up you know, their kids to be killed because they believe that they are, you know, they're reporting them, like 1984 was reporting them. So, yeah, basically, I totally agree with that.
Okay, and then just from a really kind of down-to-earth perspective, very realistic, what, I mean, I know you don't come off to me as one of those people who's an ultra-alarmist or anything, but what do you think people should realistically, I mean, because I'm pretty convinced a lot of the listeners are convinced that, you know, there are going to be hard times ahead and turmoil, you know, for the Illuminati to bring about their new world order. What do you think people should do to prepare? I mean, just from your perspective, do you think it should all be spiritual preparation, or do you advocate some sort of, you know, maybe some survivalist type preparation?
The primary thing for me, and I certainly advocate preparing in terms of any prudent means and things like that. But I am at the point now where I have been absolutely, without a doubt, proven that God is real and listening to me and loves me. And that this is the main thing. When I see this stuff happening, my instinct is like, gosh, I have God. I don't need this stuff. I have a God that can do anything. These people out here that are going to be hungry and dying, I need to give them my food. I need to go out of my bunker and make them food because I have a way to get more. I have a God. I have some, but they don't. To me, it's like a fireman in a burning building trying to go to wake up a lot of people to the fact that they don't need to be in this alone. That God is real. I think the spiritual development that happens after, you know, a lot of people misunderstand what Christianity is. Christianity isn't just taking on a new belief. It's a supernatural thing that happens to you. Your life starts to change. You start to love people that you and want to help people that you couldn't have done on your own power. That love itself is not of you. The desire to learn about him and the desire to turn away from that bondage of the stuff that was holding you back, the vices and all that stuff, it's not a resistance of it necessarily. It's a taking it away from you. You start to become somebody else. What do you do when you've become this person that you don't really deserve to be, that you didn't do it on your own? He did it for you. And the best thing you can do at that point, your single-minded focus is other people need to know about this. Other people need this. And so my focus is so little on my personal preparedness. I have a wife and we have, you know, food stored up to, you know, get us through a few weeks, a month or whatever, and so, you know, Berkey water filter, that kind of thing. But the problem, I think, with building big bunkers and stuff like that, unless, you know, that's something that you feel strongly that you're being guided to do or whatever, that's fine. Obviously, that's a great thing to do, and we need people doing that. But ultimately, that will just become this dark thing in your life. You know, it will be your God in a lot of ways. I mean, it's the thing sustaining you. It's your only hope. If somebody comes and tries to take it, you will kill for it. I mean, it becomes this terrible dark way to go out, as opposed to living for something and dying for something. Now, I won't say it's all roses being Christianity. In fact, like I just mentioned in Matthew 24, Jesus is quite plainly saying they're going to kill you because of me. I mean, they're going to deliver you up and they're going to kill you. What's coming is like nothing else that's ever came. He was pretty honest with us. I mean, I got to say, but he's also, when you get to know him, he's a good God that loves us, and not only loves us in the next life, but loves us and takes care of us here.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, just the reason I brought that up was I know me and then obviously a lot of the listeners, it's like when you start to really look into this stuff and you find out the plan of the Illuminati and how absolutely dark and bleak it is, you know, you can kind of get that run to the hills type, you know, feeling, you know, that just want, you know, fight or flight, you know, just trying to just do whatever you can to survive. But ultimately, I think, yeah, it does come down, you know, to faith in God. I mean, because, you know, like they say, times are going to get hard. And I really think, I found, you know, that saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. We're going to start seeing that to be more true as things kind of start to deteriorate. People are going to, you know, get back to their faith, basically.
And trust me, this isn't a type of pacifism, because if you know, all the things that we're finding out, how scared they are about this power that Christians have, the authority that Christ has given them, that's what they're really scared about. That's the weapon that they do fear more than anything. And that's why this genocide is coming, because it's the one, because once they get that out of the way, the rest of you guys are going to be easy targets. You know, the Bible calls Christians the salt of the world. We're preventing the inevitable decay of this world in the same way that salt prevents the decay of meat. He's scared to death, Satan, of this power. It's the only thing that can stop him. If you've ever dealt with a demon, that becomes very evident, that they are absolutely terrified of the authority of Christ in a Christian, and they aren't scared of a single other thing. When whatever goes down, it's going to be one of the darkest, most demonic things in the history of the world. That's what's coming mostly. As we talked about at the beginning, this thing has been spiritual from the very beginning. Everything that's been set up has been a spiritual agenda. Right out in the open, it's been a spiritual agenda. It's right under our noses. There is a general behind the spiritual agenda. And what are we going to use against a spiritual enemy? Huh? I mean, do we have weapons that we can use against them? The real weapon that they're scared of is not flesh and blood. And the real weapon is spiritual. So Ephesians 6:12 is a good version of that. Pick up your Bible, check it out.
Yeah, I have been coming to that same conclusion more and more. It comes down to ultimately a spiritual warfare. But so as far as things to expect, things to come, I know Russ Didzar talks about these sleeper cells, which the sleepers, the Black Awakening, which is, I mean, if that's not extremely frightening, because he, and if people, if you're not familiar with who he is, first off, I'd check him out. He has some of the just mind-blowing stuff. If you go to, I believe his website is shatterthedarkness.org.
Net.
Okay, I'm searching it right now. But yeah, so what he does is he is actively involved in spiritual warfare. And I can tell you from a personal perspective that it is real. And the last show I won't talk about it too much now, but I was, you know, deeply getting attacked through sleep paralysis, and was able to turn that and so many other things in my life around by watching Stop Sleep Paralysis, and then going to stopsleepparalysis.org, and then ultimately, resorting to the Bible and calling out to the deity of Christ. And then, going back to him, what he says is there are all of these sleepers, these trained satanic super soldiers. That, and he knows, and he's hearing this from the horse's mouth, because he is involved in spiritual warfare, so he's doing a lot of deliverance and exercising demonic entities. So, and basically, he says what'll happen is there will be like a 9/11 going off in every type of city once these people are called upon. Do you agree with that?
I think I certainly agree with Russ's research. The thing about, I think, the triggers that are inherent in multiples and how closely tied it is to satanic ritual abuse. Everybody that has satanic ritual, or rather, everybody that has multiple personality disorder, we're talking probably 90-some-odd% of the cases nowadays, also has satanic ritual abuse. People can have MPD, multiple personality disorder, in a natural way. If they suffer trauma, they can dissociate a particular personality. But what we're talking about is a structured system of personalities that were created. Whenever there's that going on, the stuff that the Nazis brought over, there's always satanic ritual abuse. Now, in that system, and satanic ritual abuse is, the being brought to rituals. They have, you know, memories of rituals, and that's used for programming. It's also used to demonize certain personalities, like assassins, to give them more power and things like that. But the issue there is, that they do have programs that can be, that are, have triggers, and when you get into those programs, they're very meticulous. They have a job to do at a certain time that seem to be associated with this chaos that's created out of the dust. And basically, the idea that I get from it is they're going to create a chaos that when the dust settles from that, they will be in power. And they call themselves the soldiers of the Antichrist. So it's kind of part of this order out of chaos thing. It's definitely a possibility in terms of how it could happen overnight type thing, or at least be part of it. I have racked my brain trying to figure out how that scenario could work in terms of how the media would deal with it. Because I can't think of an excuse that the media could have that all across the world everybody starts going crazy, unless it was associated with what I mentioned earlier, the alien thing.
Yeah.
Because I think we were set up with the Rockefeller thing because in Orson Welles and that whole thing when, you know, aliens have landed and people jumped out of windows and killed themselves and acted crazy, I think there's a precedent set in the minds of people that if that happened, there would be just mass craziness and chaos and people going crazy. And a lot of these people, as Fali, a great Illuminati defector who was a former programmer, detailed, a lot of these people have front altars that are like, you know, big in the church and stuff like that or whatever. So basically what I'm saying is that there could be something like that where they could be blamed on Christians going crazy and, you know, ended up doing all this stuff. But I have absolutely no idea how that could play out. But I do agree with them that they seem to have these programs. And the other thing about triggering multiples is, you know, a common way to trigger them is through, you know, code words or whatever. You call up a certain personality, you know, let's say they have 30 personalities and you're looking for the assassin personality and you're the handler, then you've got a certain trigger. It could be, well, it's probably a number of triggers. One would be, you know, something to do with a word or something, but there's also tones. They can get a call and there'll be a tone that will call up certain alters. And then, but anyway, so that's the scary thing, is that there seems to be an idea that a trigger can go out in a different frequency. Like there's a possibility that there's a frequency-based trigger that could go out on some kind of line or something like that would cause this Black Awakening to happen. But don't know. It could be event-based. It could be they could tell the personality, when you see such and such happen, that is the trigger for this whatever personality to come out and do its program.
And one thing I want to hit on spiritual warfare is a huge question I've had that I've never really been able to answer. It's a pretty straightforward question. So if there's this spiritual warfare, which I've had evidence of in my own life, and you can just see it, you know, you can see it within yourself, and, you know, also within yourself, you can see it on a grander scale within the world, just, you know, these two opposing forces. But the thing I can't wrap my mind around is if these demonic entities, for one, are forced to respond to the deity in the Bible known as Christ. If they're forced to respond to him, that means that they know of Christ's power. But then what's their purpose then? Because, I mean, ultimately, you know, in the Bible, obviously, you know, Yahweh, you know, is victorious. And so it's like, do they really think in spiritual warfare they're going to win? I mean, it just, you know, I don't understand why.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think that a good example would be in the Bible where the demons would also often say stuff to Jesus when he was dealing with them. Nobody had seen any of this stuff happen before, but the demons would also often say stuff. One incident, they said, what are you doing? Are you here to torture us before our appointed time? They know it's coming. But that was the question to him. Have you come here to torture us before our appointed time? I think that there is a belief, as twisted as it is, that in terms of Lucifer or Satan or whatever, that he can win. I think that the reason I think that is that a lot of the things that he does seems to seem like he's trying to win. I think that there's a few things that you can – like every time that there's like a conditional thing – that, you know, Christ can't come back until so-and-so or, you know, new prophecy is revealed, he seems to actually attempt to thwart that. As soon as he hears some kind of thing about, like, prophecy, a good example is there's sort of a obscure kind of prophecy that the Jewish people will realize that their Messiah has wounded hands and wounded feet, that they will petition for the Messiah. They will realize he was it's Jesus, and that is sort of like a precondition, kind of, sort of. But I think that that's essentially the idea behind his attempt at complete destruction of the Jewish people, because he thinks if he can destroy them all, that he can stop that from happening. It's his only hope, if you think about it. He knows the prophecy that this return spells his end. He knows that, at least on some level, he can't deal with that. But at the same time, he's trying everything possible. You got to give him credit. He's extremely, his work ethic, if nothing else. But so I think that on a demonic level, they're just following orders. What they understand more than anything else is fear. There is a hierarchy in the demonic world. I think Ephesians 6 does go into that. We wrestle not with. Let me get to that real quick.
That's a great verse.
It shows that at least there's some sort of of hierarchy going on there in terms of their ranking. And I also have noticed this in terms of experientially, but for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There seems to be an authority of demons. Russ Dizdar, we were just talking about, he speaks a lot about in a multiple. Oftentimes there will be what he's termed a power demon that seems to be, that there's a number of demons under him that in a deliverance session, in his training sessions, he talks about dealing with that entity first and getting that out before, and then the other ones will, be easier and all this stuff. So, but also basically what I'm saying is that they're in like an exact military system. That demon may be more powerful than the other demons, but they're still ultimately in a military system with Satan as the ultimate person who's directing their primary directives. So they still have an agenda. Their basic agenda is to help build this system, to build the structure of the system that will eventually enthrone him. And that's what this whole New World Order thing is doing. Every single conspiracy that we're talking about, every single, whether it's the Raelians or whether it's the Ascended Masters, every demon involved in these programs is helping to shape and prepare the world for even the police state stuff is to prepare the world for him. That is the Antichrist, because he's going to force people to worship him. And that's ultimately what his goals are always been, is to force people to worship him. He can't do what God can do, but he's got a pretty good plan, I think, to actually force people to do it. And I think the microchip has something to do with that. But it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, no, you made a pretty good point as far as him trying to, pervert, the plan as much as he can to maybe kind of slow his own defeat, him meaning, Lucifer, Satan. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense from a spiritual warfare, perspective of, trying to, basically postpone the inevitable for him. Or, maybe he really does think he's going to win, and he's just doing all in his power, that he can to stop him.
Right, I think you can see the fear of the demons in throughout the Gospels. But yeah, absolutely. One other thing, Russ Dizdar always makes the point, because of, you can see in the military, like a lot of these military weapons developers and stuff like that will like have day jobs doing that kind of stuff, but then they write books about channeling, Egyptian gods and how they're talking with all these beings and everything, and they're getting these ideas that'll pop into their head to build this crazy, new weaponry and stuff like that. And there's so many different, that's all over the place. And if you think about it, if you were Satan, if you had demons and at your disposal, that would be a great place to start giving people these ideas, because they have the power to create these weapons. But the interesting thing is what seems to be the nature of these weapons that they're developing and stuff seem to almost be like they're actually trying to physically defend against the return of Christ. I know what that sounds like, even if you were just listening to this, like, okay, that's crazy. But that's what seems to, like, and you look at the theology of it, they're talking about this, return of, whatever. Anyway, the easiest way to tell is to see what they're being told to do by their own words. They're being told this by some Egyptian god, quote unquote, to how to build some crazy weapon.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just this idea basically that they actually are thinking that they have a chance in this return. Of course, it's part of his twisted nature. I mean, if you think of how crazy it is, he would be a created being thinking he has a chance against an infinite being. It's not even a fair fight, but that's just the nature of the blindness of pride. And that's exactly why David Icke and the rest of them can be deceived, because, you know, pride is such a easy way to be blinded.
Yeah, no, it's all about manipulation, and then people who think, you know, they're, quote, oh, we're so awake, they you know, a lot of times won't be able to see that they're being, you know, manipulated and used. Just a few other notes I have here that I wanted to bring up to you, because I was just taking notes, listening to the work you've done, is that clip you've used, which is very creepy. I want you to give me your analysis of that, I think it's the Denver airport drawing. If you can tell me your theory, because one time you said you think it's literally going to play out exactly like how it looks in that drawing.
Yeah, I think that's a good example of what we were talking about, the order out of chaos, how the New World Order will be sacrificed, and that the real New World Order will actually look like the New Age that all us truthers are fighting for. That we've actually been tricked to fight for, as opposed to fight against or be warned against. That depicts people. If you'll notice, there's this big, like, you know, death mask person. You know, obviously military guy with a dead with his machine gun. He's all dead, and the Christians are dead. But the whole world is giving up their guns, and there's this new thing, and they're all circled around this thing. It's just obviously picturing a new utopia that the world is united in, freely giving up their guns and everything because of this new peace. And you're looking at dead Christians and dead New World Order. I think that the New World Order is a vehicle, as we currently understand it, is going to be sacrificed because it's going to look like a part of the old system. The old system is being painted as dark as it possibly can be, so that when it goes away, what saves us from it will look much, much brighter. So they're getting the world ready for a savior by making it as terrible as possible. Whatever, if we, you know, truthers out there, if somebody saves us from this New World Order that we all think is impossible to be saved from, you know, we're on board with that, regardless of, you know, what it is. Supernatural would be better because that would prove to us that it's not a part of this old system. You know, some rider on the white horse would definitely save us.
Yeah, and that whole painting is very bizarre and creepy, and it shows it has that the like girl with the cross and the casket. What's that all about?
I mean, you know, my interpretation of it is that the Christians aren't going to be allowed in this new utopia. And I think that's obviously what the demons are saying.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And the thing with the truth movement is, you know, a lot of times people have this attitude that we're so different than the mainstream, and, you know, we're so awake. But they actually, in a lot of ways, emulate a lot of things that, you know, mainstream society does. And they're, like you said, if there's an individual, you know, this ascended master, betrayer, or whatever you want to call him, the Antichrist, who comes around, who, yeah, promises to, you know, end all the corruption and all the pain and suffering. I mean, I've seen, you know, the truth movement get in this flock mentality, where I could absolutely see them, yeah, just propping this person up. And I'm going to use an example. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash him politically, but, like, with a lot of the people, you know, in 2008 with Ron Paul, he was complete, you know, he's just a person, and he represents a lot of ideas I agree with, but it's just this herd mentality of just totally, you know, this infallible person. You just got to be really, 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 really careful of that, you know.
Definitely. I think to make it, you know, we would all have something to say about, you know, something like that, but that's why I think that the alien thing is the best way to not just indoctrinate us that feel like we're seeking the truth, because that would really look like something that has the power to stop all the wars. Because they could prove that there was nothing to fight for, quote unquote, because, you know, not that the wars were actually fought because of religious differences anyway, because it's just manipulation, you know, and other many different reasons for the wars. But yeah, I think that would be the primary way, not just to get them involved, us that are actually have a chance of resisting it, but those that have no, that are American Idol watchers that don't care about anything else. They've just been, you know, they've been indoctrinated enough by the movies and stuff. They're expecting the same thing subconsciously, but But that has the ability to unite the world in a world kind of way, a world without borders. You know, what's his name? Zbigniew Brzezinski's, you know, book comes true, or because, or whatever, whoever wrote that book, because that takes the whole world is united. Oh my God, we're all part of a global civilization, and there's obviously religious connotations to these beings showing up. So this world religion, of course, that Alice Bailey is so emphatic about, then becomes finally reality. But not a second before then, no Ron Paul or anybody else is going to create make the Hindus drop the Hinduism and Islam drop the Islam. It needs to be. If Alice Bailey's stuff is going to come true, it has to be nothing short of something like that.
Yeah, and then I was going to mention, as far as we talk about the Theosophical Society, but I haven't heard you mention too much as far as setting up the New World Order and the fact that they could use extraterrestrials as a way to get people to unite. What do you think, though, that the Catholic Church would play a role in all of this?
Well, there's definitely a lot of people that see the Catholic Church as, you know, the entity that you know, has the power somehow to make everybody in a world religion like that. Yeah, I just can't even fathom that happening, because they've worked so hard in making everybody hate the Catholic Church, which is, you know, justified pretty much. I mean, but the issue is, I can't see how that could be used to unite the world religions. It's not practical, because it's been used as, it's been the mask that they wear to make sure everybody gets mad at, the same thing that they've been doing with you know, lots of other stuff. So what role does it play is that it gets really ecumenical, and it gets ready to be able to take on this new theology. I think whatever comes back is going to be relevant for the Christian that doesn't know their Bible. It's going to say, no, this is Jesus, and Jesus is cool with this, and Jesus, and they're going to say stuff like, you know, he was real. This new thing is what he was talking about. It just was a little different than, you know, the Bible says, because the Bible has been, you know, miswritten and all these things. They're going to badmouth the Bible, say, yeah, it was pretty good for what it got changed or whatever. So it's pretty close, but this is what it was really talking about. And the lackadaisical Christian world will be fully embracing this new situation, because, you know, it will seem like it. Oh my gosh, this is the 1,000 years of peace, and Jesus has returned, and oh my gosh, this is it. Wow. And it's going to look like just beyond the door, utopia. So why wouldn't they go through it? The only people that are going to resist this are the people that are reading their Bibles. That's why the Bible keeps saying, you know, that's why the Catholic Church, most Catholics, have never read the Bible. They're told not to read the Bible. They're told they can't understand the Bible. So most Catholics would have never read Matthew 24 and said, hey, you know what, this is looking a whole lot like what was written here, or written in Revelation, the book of Revelation, or in Daniel, or in Zechariah, or in Joel. I mean, this is what we were warned about, guys.
Yep. And then one thing I want to hit on the Bible is, one, you made a great video saying that how you don't think the Bible was changed by the Illuminati, because if there's one thing I hear all the time, it's that, well, we don't really know about Christianity because it probably, you know, Council of Nicaea was changed by the Illuminati as a tool to control us. That's the one thing I hear all the time.
Definitely. I mean, it's what I call like a rubber stamp that people put on something so they don't have to think about it anymore. It's literally a one-liner that people don't actually understand what they even mean by saying it, for the most part. Because if it were true, people shouldn't just claim it. They should be able to prove it. It would be the easiest thing in the world to prove. If the Bible was changed so many times, then because there's more copies of it and fragments and quotations and full codexes and every type of form, there's 5,000 some odd fragments. There's 26,000 other versions on it of different, you know, quotations and different things. Different continents, totally different time frames, more than any other text in the history of the world. Bar none. There's not even close. I think next is like Homer's Iliad with like 5 or 6 copies. And those differ incredibly. And not just on little things. They differ on huge chunks of the storyline is different in those 5 existing copies or whatever it is of the Iliad. But here we're talking about 5,000 copies of the Bible, 26,000 other early references of it, and they don't differ at all. It's literally a miracle. I mean, to have this many different copies by different people and they don't change – If the next person that tells you that the Bible has changed so many times, just tell them to show you where, because there's plenty of evidence for you them to prove it. It's got to be more than a claim, because it's too easy to. There's scholars, you know, nobody thinks about. There's also really good textual scholars that really hate the Bible out there. Why wouldn't they just prove it? Why doesn't anybody just pull out the text and show, here the Bible said this, but back here it said this? And this whole idea about the Gnostic Gospels and stuff like that is just, it's for the people that don't look into it. If you put it on a YouTube video and some fancy music in the background, you might believe it. But if you actually looked at the dates and stuff like that, it's impossible. Even the Gospel of Thomas scholars, which Thomas is the only one that's possibly earlier enough. The other ones are just jokes, basically. But Thomas is 100 years after the fact. Absolutely no evidence of it before the 100-year mark. Even the scholars are absolutely know this. The Thomas scholars that want it to be there, they say that the only reason that what gives it its validity is the fact that it's written poorly. They say because it's written so much worse than the Bible, then it was a predecessor for it. Because they say, you know, you do the bad thing first, and then you get the good thing. So Thomas is, or they might say that Thomas is valid because there aren't any records of it. They would say, because it was so important that everybody like took it away and burned it and whatever. And that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if your evidence for it being there is the fact that it isn't there, it's a terrible argument. But the whole idea about Nicaea and stuff, that's just a joke. I mean, Nicaea didn't have anything to do with the Bible canon and all this stuff. It had to do with something called Arianism and a few other things. But, I mean, it didn't have anything to do with it. The idea that the canon was created by the Catholic Church and the Bible's books were chosen and stuff is just like a thing created by Dan Brown. The basic idea is that everybody, you know, the early church were getting killed in Rome for 300 years, circulating what we now call the Bible. The four Gospels, the letters of Paul, you know, Jude, James, Peter, all these different things. They've got records of them, you know, that this is the ones they believe and stuff like that. What was done later on by the Catholic Church, which I think, you know, was actually a lot of different stuff going on there. But basically, it was confirming what everybody already knew. And the reason they did it is because at that time, many hundreds of years later, we're talking 400 and some odd years later, people were trying to get Thomas and say, oh, Thomas and these things, you know, whatever. This was like, no, these are the books that have been there forever. This is it, you know. And it wasn't like a conspiracy. There wasn't any. It's absolutely clear. But the main point is that it's just not true. A lot of that stuff that Dan Brown says, there's a cottage industry of Dan Brown debunked stuff out there. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I just want to read you real quick a response I made to someone saying that if there was anything good, it was manipulated and co-opted by the Illuminati. And then that made me realize a lot of times people, and especially in America, because, you know, it's kind of the establishment religion, even though people don't really follow it, but they always associate it, you know, kind of with the status quo, even though we can all prove that even regardless of what religion they say they are, they're much more, they're much closer to Satanists than they are to Christians. But so let's just say a lot of times people have this distaste for Christianity because they were raised around people who called themselves Christians and they met all these Christians they didn't like. You know, it's kind of this establishment thing, so they look at it in a very negative light. I know personally that's how I used to kind of view it, and then I just realized I needed to look at the actual doctrine and not just what people who claimed to be following that doctrine were doing, but look at the actual teachings of Jesus. So what I said to this person who was basically saying how it's a tool of the Illuminati, and then I said, I said, I think you're mixing up the church with teachings of Christ, though. I used to think the same things as a teenager, and I hated Christianity and thought it was controlling. And then I said, sure, the religious institutions are mind-controlled operations, but the teachings of Jesus were not dogmatic, and it was about if your heart was in the right place. And I said he was totally against the church. And then I said, this is a point I wanted to bring up to you. I said, see, religion can be used by those in power as a force of manipulation regardless of the underlying doctrine. For example, here in the U.S., they can say to kids, you know, be good or you'll go to hell. But then I knew someone from a Buddhist nation, and she was saying the establishment would blame poverty and hardship on people's past lives, saying they weren't good in their past life. So basically they were taking the doctrine of Buddhism, and then the social engineers were using religion as a tool of manipulation. So it's not saying they can use it however they want, but they're perverting the doctrine. So and that also just ties into the point that all these people here are against Christianity because that was the establishment religion. But then the rebels in like a Buddhist nation would probably just have the same distaste for Buddhism because that's how they were raised.
Right. Yeah. If you want, there's a video out there I did called Religious Wars: Fact or Fiction, where the main thesis of it was that all these so-called religious wars in the past had nothing to do with the true believers of the religion. It was the state manipulating the doctrine to make people fight the wars. The Shinto wars, modern Islam is a perfect example of that. And of course, the Christian crusades and all that stuff had nothing to do with Christian doctrine. What part of love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that persecute you and despitefully use you? What part of that can you use to fight a war? Jesus' teachings has nothing to do with that. Put away your sword, Peter, has nothing to do with go kill Muslims. But people have this complete disconnect from it because the establishment is telling them they're Christianity. When George Bush says, hey, I'm a Christian, but I go to Skull and Bones in the Bohemian Grove, for whatever reason, we believe them. But here's the issue the shocking thing is that us that are so-called enlightened here in the truth movement, that we can actually believe that the establishment is Christian, knowing full well that from cradle to grave, we are taught everything but Christianity. We're told about evolution, and there's no possibility of Christianity being told. We're told in our universities a vicious form of anti-Christianity, and here we have the nerve to think that the establishment is Christian. And the only people that are really Christian is your grandmother who's been trying to get you to figure it out for the whole time, and that's the establishment, your grandmother. She's the last one standing trying to the establishment, the status quo. The rest of them is absolutely anti-Christian, trying to get you to believe the exact opposite. And for some reason, we believe that the establishment is Christian. It couldn't be any more ridiculous.
Yeah, and then also that, and then people in the conspiracy movement like to say religion is the cause of all these wars, but we know that's a lot of times the mainstream view of history might have you believe that, but I thought in the conspiracy movement we kind of subscribe to the conspiratorial view. In reality, a lot of the wars and revolutions and famine and death was actually caused by the Illuminati, it's by the conspirators. So, I mean, it's kind of strange, they'll subscribe to the conspiratorial belief in one thing, but then they'll... when they want to, they'll switch sides and go to the more mainstream view of things when it suits their beliefs. It's like they pick and choose what they want to believe is basically what I'm saying.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but man, thanks for doing the interview. Is there any last points you want to make? Because I think we did a good job of covering things.
Yeah, we sure did cover a lot. If anybody has any questions about anything that I've said or whatever, you can email me, and you can do that at nowheretorun1984@gmail.com, or you can contact me through my website, which is nowheretorunradio.com. And if you have any questions about the Bible, about Christianity, or about anything else that I've said here, just give me a line and we'll talk about it.
Okay, so the website's nowheretorunradio.com, you said?
Yeah.
And then also on YouTube, it's nowheretorun1984, youtube.com/nowheretorun1984, and people can just spend a long time there just looking at the research you've done. That's a great YouTube channel. And once again, I want to apologize to the listeners because I've already had people sending me messages saying that they're pretty disappointed because they really wanted to call in. But sorry about that. I mean, it's Blog Talk. This is Do-It-Yourself Radio. I'm not Rush Limbaugh. This is all, this is just bare bones, just me. So sorry about the mistakes. It's bound to happen. Hopefully in the future we can have, Chris White back on again to answer your guys' questions. But thanks for listening, and thanks for doing the interview, Chris.
No problem, man. Thanks a lot, Ed.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to that David Icke project for sure.
Cool.